Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
You look so good at all the campuses today. We know that Jesus is the reason for the season. And this time of the year, we can get really caught up in thinking about ourselves. In fact, are you like me to where you go shopping for other people and you find some good stuff for yourself? Raise your hand. I mean, it's not that I don't want to buy stuff for other people. It's just that I find stuff that I want as well. In fact, this jacket I got on, a buddy of mine, his birthday is in December, which is kind of bad because in December, you know, you kind of get ripped off. You know what I mean? So I went to the mall and I found this jacket, and this jacket for him, and it was buy one, get one free. And I'm like, he's definitely getting that jacket because I want that jacket too. Come on, give that up for my honesty today. I'm just confessing. But if we're not careful, life just becomes really, really about us instead of living a life of adoration unto the Lord and finding out, God, what do you want to do with my life? Now, I would say this about life, that you can work really hard, and you do. Raise your hand if you work really hard. Raise your hand if you hardly work. Come on, right? Okay, so you got these different aspects of life, and you're saying, you know, work really hard, but what is the purpose? In fact, this morning, across the street, we have a lot of chiropractors that go to our church, but I love all of them, but the one across the street is great because it's right here at the parking lot. So this morning, I went and got adjusted, and he was here last night, and he said something interesting to me. He said, you know, a lot of people don't understand their purpose. He's very successful. But he said, well, last night, I hope today that you convey that again, that our purpose is bigger than our paycheck, that our purpose is bigger than our job. And so really, ultimately, here's what I know about you. I know, first of all, at all of our campuses today, that you love the Lord because you came to church. Raise your hand if that makes sense. I also know that you're a great judge of preachers because you found a great one. Come on, raise your hand on that. Okay. So we got something in common there. But when you use your life to change somebody else's life, you're going to feel really great. We're most like God, by the way, when we're giving. And so the first point of my sermon today is God wants your heart. God wants your heart. Matthew 6:21, it says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I never really have to think about, and you don't have to think about, your love for your children. You take care of them. Raise your hand if you got kids. Raise your hand if you got more than one kid. Raise your hand if you got one kid you like more than the other kid, right? Okay, no. But we naturally take care of ourselves. We naturally take care of what we love. Now, here's the really good part that I really want you to get a hold of. And maybe you're a newcomer to Faith Church. It's your first weekend. God loves you. And the enemy has fought you so hard thinking because you did this sin or you think this way or you were born that way or you were born in this part of town that the enemy tries to convince you that God is mad at you. And nothing could be further from the truth. God loved you so much, the creator of the heaven and the earth. He loved you so much that he gave his only son. It wasn't like he had a bunch of sons. He had one son, and his name was Jesus. Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, give it up for Jesus today. And Jesus submits to that. So where your treasure is, your heart must be also. So one, I want you to understand that God loves you. You are his treasure. Now, we got to take our life once we've realized that our life has been changed, and we need to love all people, not just the people that we love. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give generously as everything actually comes from you? And you have given, and what we're given only has come from your hand. Now, this one time of the year, if you're new here and this is your first time, we don't talk about this all the time, but once a year we realize that Jesus is the reason for the season and we make today, this weekend, a Jesus offering. Where we say we're bringing our best gift to God because we don't want to look at the end of the year and go, man, our credit card reflected that we loved our kids a lot and we loved our spouse a lot and all these things are good, but we actually love God and we're giving God a good gift. What do we do with that gift? Well, this is a great stat. 14,266 people gave their life to Jesus in our campuses this year. Come on, give it up. That's incredible. So So when you give, you're most like God, and it's easy to give because you love God. And I love what David is saying here. He said, hey, I'm just overwhelmed with humility that God actually accepts my gift, and it wasn't for God blessing me, I would not be able to bless God. He has a humble heart. Now, first of all, this gift that David is giving is a historic gift. It's a monumental gift. It would equate to millions and millions of dollars today. But he said, I'm humbled because if it weren't for God, I wouldn't have this. I was reflecting this weekend on my dad, who's in heaven today, who passed away. I know this because my daughter is 22. 22 years ago, at 56, he died. Now, here's what he did, though, with his life. He used his life to plant a church. And I was thinking about how we didn't have any money. We live, first of all, in South County, over by the beautiful, incredible intercoastal. Florida, you have an intercoastal. We have our own intercoastal. It's called the River de Pere. Does anybody know what I'm talking about right now? And we lived over by the River de Pere and Monsanto, and it smelled bad, and people broke into our house. But my dad made a goal. He said, what I'm going to do with my life is we're going to, this year, not have Christmas. Some of you heard this story before. But he said, we're going to pay down our debt so we can use our house to build God a house. He was modeling for me what David is doing here, saying, I'm going to give my best and first to God. And so we did that. Then now fast forward. He pays the house off, and he goes over to Lehme Bank on Lehme Ferry Road, meets with Frank Ziegler, and says, hey, I want to use the title deed to my house to build God a house. And he went to 1416 Larkin Williams Road, and he built a church that is still there today. There are people meeting there today, having church at that church that my dad built. And now he's in heaven, but that church is still going. And then subsequently, we are standing on the shoulders of my father, who continued to build that church. And now your life has been changed because of that church. Why am I telling you this story? Because a lot of people die, and they die with a lot of money. In fact, really, people have asked me before, this is really interesting that you do this with your life. You could actually have started a business. You could have built an organization that you could sell. Because it doesn't make sense, if you think about it, that I would spend my whole life building a church that you can't own, that you can't sell. Why would you do it? That is a great question. Why would I do it? Because there is a purpose behind what we are called to do. Now, not everybody's called to do that. When I look around the room and at all of our campuses today, a lot of you are building great businesses that you could sell, or you're working at a organization and there's a retirement program. I'm not defaming any of that. I'm just saying that make sure whatever you're doing it unto the Lord, and that at the end of the trail, it is changing somebody's life besides just your own. Go ahead, give it up for God today. And this is what David was saying. He said, hey, I'm giving God a gift, but also I want to be humbled by the fact that if it were not, think about this, if it were not for God, you would not have what you have. And then sometimes it's good to remember, if you ever go to Washington, D.C., and walking down the halls of Congress, there's a etched in stone, and it said, when an institution or a country forgets its hard beginnings, it's beginning to decay. One of my greatest fears is, and I think yours should be as well, is that you and I probably grew up a little different than our kids. How many of y'all didn't have $100 tennis shoes? How many of y'all did not have Netflix? You did not have an iPhone. Come on, liar. They didn't have iPhones back then, right? But as you continue to grow and life goes on, we forget God. We don't need to go to church. We don't need to honor God. We don't need to bring an offering to God. But just think about the times when the Lord saved you, when you were in a difficult situation, when he delivered you, when he helped you. And then also it helps to think about the times that God saved you that we're too stupid to know that he saved us. And we were griping going, why is this traffic delaying me? But God was keeping you from a car wreck. Can somebody help me in the house of God today? I'm talking to Fairview, Weldon, Ferguson, all y'all. It's important to think about where God brought you from. Here's another passage I want to read in Exodus 35, verse 4. It says, Moses spoke to all the congregation and the children of Israel, saying, this thing which the Lord has commanded you, saying, take from among you an offering, whoever has a willing heart, and bring it. So number one, God talks about offerings. Number two, he said, you need to bring it. Verse 21, for the sake of time, it says, to everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord an offering. Notice two things. One, your heart is stirred. Two, you're willing. Then you bring the Lord an offering. You kind of have to stir up your heart to think about giving an offering. Stirring up your heart. Again, going back to my childhood, when we built the church, we didn't have any money. Anybody in here grew up poor at all our campuses? Raised up, you grew up pretty poor. Anybody ever had to put something back in the grocery line? Anybody ever said, let me know when it gets to $4, okay? That would be a half a gallon of gas today, right? And I remember going in and trying to build the church, and my dad would go in the dumpsters of Broad Dugan and other paint stores, and he would take the paint that people had mixed and thrown away, and he began to put it in a big trash can, and he began to stir that paint, and that became the paint that was free that we used to paint the church. I remember, some of you remember this, remember carpet samples that they would put in like a little, they had handles on it, and you would take it home and pick through it. Well, my dad would go to the carpet stores, and he would ask them, could we have that, until he had hundreds of that, and then he got me. He didn't believe in child labor laws. It didn't matter at all. He had me and my brother and my mom, and we took knives, and we would double-face tape it down, and we made our kids' areas this free carpet. And people would come in and say, this is so cool. Where did you get this carpet? And I was like, out of the dumpster. But see, what was on my dad's heart was to build God a house. What he did was change people's lives. He didn't have any money to do it, but he had a dream to do it. Subsequently, that dream hit me. It's generational. And you have to ask yourself that question today. When you go to heaven someday, I mean, y'all don't want to go to hell. That's the number one reason I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. When we go to heaven, our kids and our kids' kids are going to follow in that legacy that we are leading. Are they going to be worldly? Or are they going to be full of the world and the word? Are we going to think in the mindset of this is culturally relevant? Are we going to go back to the Bible, which is incredibly relevant? In fact, this Bible is so relevant that we haven't caught up with it yet. In fact, it says that he, in Revelation, that he's coming back. He's going to split the eastern sky, and he's going to be on a white horse and have a vest that says faithful and true and a sword coming out of it. I'm talking about your soon and coming King, Jesus, who said that he's coming back for us, his church. Come on, give God praise today. This is all in here. So I love it. In fact, in Fairview Heights, somebody popped up. She's a big influencer over there. And last Sunday or so, she said, hey, I'm going to Fairview Heights campus. She's an influencer, but she used her big influence on TikTok to share how Faith Church changed her life. That's living your life on purpose. That's a form of giving. When I say giving, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your whole life. I'm talking about diving in a dumpster and getting paint cans out. I'm talking about going in and asking the carpet people to give us the carpet samples. I'm talking about getting down on our hands and knees and cutting it. I'm talking about laying the stone ourselves. I'll never forget those days. Number one, it made me a hard worker. Number two, it made me realize that we need to prioritize God. And number three, it left a legacy that now my kids are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even my dog is like, bow wow. Come on, somebody. Because your kids are not going to be what you say. They're not going to do what you say any more than you do what your parents told you to do. They're going to do and be what we are. And I love it. It says, are you going to stir up your hearts? And one of the quickest ways to stir up your heart is thinking about how good God has been. Has God been good to you? Are you kind of surprised that God has been good to you knowing how bad you were? Raise your hand if you should have raised your hand. Okay. You were lying. Exodus 35, let's keep reading. It says, the children of Israel brought a free will offering. Notice it wasn't under pressure, and I don't want anybody to feel pressure, to the Lord. And all the men and women whose heart were, there it is again, willing. And then 36, jump to chapter 36, verse 5, it says, there was a part here where it says, the people have brought so much money, more than enough for the service and the work of God, and Moses had commanded them to stop giving. Can you imagine this? The material was so sufficient that all the work was done. In fact, there was too much. There was an overflow. He had to say stop. Can you imagine on a Sunday if I came and said, you guys got to stop giving. You're giving away too much money. How many of y'all can't imagine that? Be honest with me. Raise your hand. I just can't imagine that. Why? And really, it could be if we operated on the system of God and we said we're going to tithe, which is the first 10% to God. That would solve all those problems. But really, that goes back to that willing heart. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you going to stir your heart every once in a while and go, God, I'm going to give back to you what only you could give to me, and I wouldn't even have the ability to give if you hadn't have given me this. Think of this. There are things in life. In fact, my friends from Amini's, great friends, are here. Have you ever seen that big dome in Chesterfield? And they own that business. And his concern today was not, can my business grow, Pastor? Can this happen, that? He brought me a picture of a little baby named Winnie. And he said, this is that little baby that they didn't think that was going to live. And Winnie's alive. That's good. But then they said, okay, there's two holes in the baby's heart. Would you pray for my friend? And so I took the phone and I prayed for the friend. And here's what I told the friend. I know it looks impossible and I know it doesn't look probable, but if God saved this child's life and the child is here, we got to keep our hopes up. We got to say that the greatest Christmas gift could be that Winnie would be healed, that the hole would be healed. So y'all see what I'm saying? So what I'm really trying to tell you is a lot of times in life, there's things that money just can't fix. There's some problems only God can fix. There's just moments that don't make sense. So you've got to say, wait a minute, what am I doing with my life leading up to 26 to get myself in alignment to stir my heart? Now, here's the things that we saw in that verse. Number one, we saw a willing heart. Number two, we saw a stirred heart. Number three, we saw don't give because there's pressure. Literally, this actually means that you have a willing heart to do what's on God's heart. Now, think about this as a church. When you give to the church, you don't just give to the church, you give through the church. Think about it. We were the first ones, they probably have some footage even to show you. We were the first ones, when FEMA didn't show up in St. Louis after that tornado for almost a month, we were there in the first 2 hours and we stayed the whole time. In fact, people were screaming down there, FEMA never showed up, but Faith Church did. Isn't that a good reputation to have? And our buildings were full of tractor trailers coming in and coming out and feeding people and buying people houses and restoring people's hopes. And we were doing something critical. And if you think about the people that are in prison and the inmates that we reached and the thousands of coats and blankets that are on the streets of St. Louis, these are the things that are on God's heart. Again, give it up for yourself for being such a generous church. Like, what do you do with that money? We reach people far from God and do what's on God's heart. Does that make sense? Now, the second point would be giving flows from a willing heart, not of guilt. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 said, watch this, each one must give as he or she has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I want to make sure you understand this. If you've ever been to church, there's probably been at some point in your life, and I want to apologize for those preachers who put pressure on you to give. I don't care if you give or not. I don't want you to ever give because you feel pressure to give. Have you ever had somebody give you a gift and you don't think they really wanted to give you the gift? They just gave you the gift? It just feels weird. It feels awkward. But when you know they wanted to give you the gift, it makes all the difference in the world. So it's the heart and the willingness to say, God, you've done so much for me that I'm giving back to you my time, my talent, and my treasure. And if I could point out anything to you in your life, it is find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. And use your life in whatever way, even if it's just sharing a kind word with somebody. Because most likely, people walking around the malls of St. Louis today, they feel rejected, they feel under pressure, they feel like people don't love them, and everybody's fighting one another. But what if people would know us at Faith Church because we were friendly, because we were kind, because we were compassionate, because we were loving, because we were serving, because we were helping? Can I get an amen on that one? Can you agree with that? Wouldn't that be great? So I don't ever want you to give because you're under compulsion. In fact, God never forced a gift. He allowed his heart to give. For God so loved the world, he loved. There's that key. Giving and love come heart and hand in hand. My wife, Nicole, when I'd been married for 8 years, got divorced, single for a while, and I lost everything, lived in a basement Baldwin apartment with nothing. And I don't know if you've heard of the divorced Barbie, but it comes with all Ken's stuff, okay? And I was hurt and rejected and so on. And so we had just started dating, and it was her birthday. And I thought, I'm going to get her something. But I thought, you know, what if she doesn't stay? Honestly, this is going to sound like a bad person. But I bought her a bike that was a unisex bike. In other words, it was a bike that a boy could ride or a girl could ride, and I gave her the bike. She received the bite, but she told me later it was like giving a woman a vacuum. This was stupid. Come on, somebody. But because I didn't necessarily know her that well, because I didn't love her that much, because of past hurts, I wasn't sure. Now it's way different. Because I love her, I think of things I can do for her. I think of things I could give her. Because I love my kids, I can think about ways, and it just comes naturally because it's out of a heart of love. Raise your hand if that makes sense. So one of the ways that we know we love God is he's got our heart. My little grandson is 5. And I've got on just video them all the time. And I was driving on a UTV with him, and he said, "Stop, stop, stop." And he stopped. And he looked at me and he said, "Papa, I love you. You're my best friend." And then he didn't say, "Can we go to the toy store?" I was waiting for the hammer to drop. I was waiting for the shoe to drop, but nothing. He just said, "Papa, I love you." When you tell God that, "God, I love you," and you're not saying, "Heal my dog. God, give me money. God, heat this up. God, change this." And there's nothing wrong with asking God. But when you just come with a humble heart saying, "God, here's my life, and I want to use it in 2026 to affect somebody else's life, and I want to have a shoulder that they can stand on that is a legacy that my kids and my kids' kids can have kind of an anchor." Think about that. Again, I know it feels kind of heavy today, and I don't want it to feel that way, but there's a spirit of giving that comes over you, and generosity flows more from the heart than manipulation. And I want to say that it doesn't matter the amount. Anybody ever got a little gift from a little kid that you loved, and it was like, "Hey, I painted you this. I colored this for you." Have you ever put something that looked absolutely horrible on your refrigerator? If you took that piece of artwork and you took it to, like, you know, an auction and says, "Guys, hey, auction this off. I know you got a Picasso over here, and I know you got this over, but look at this." The natural eye is not going to say that is valuable, but because that came from this little cat's heart, it meant the world to you. Here's what I'm trying to drive to you today, that God just loves you. When you, if you went to heaven, he'd have your little artwork on his refrigerator. But the devil has tried to convince you that you're no good, that you're not valuable, that you're not here on purpose, that you have no purpose. And I'm telling you, if it's just a kind word that you give today, give that. But if you got money, give it. If you got time, give it. If I can talk and communicate, and several times today, by the way, let me pause my sermon and say, several times today while I was talking, I would get to going, and I got scared a couple times. I thought, "Oh my gosh, am I making sense?" How many of y'all understand that I think while I'm up here? Let me try that again. Let's start. How many of y'all think I got a brain? Come on. Fairview, raise your hand. Okay. Got a brain? That's over half of you. That's pretty awesome. But my brain will wander off, and I'll go, "Dude, you're doing okay. Get back on point. Here's where you're at." So I freak out up here, but I have to trust the material and say, "God, whatever I am, whether good or kind of good or kind of suck, I'm giving everything I got, and I'm leaving it on this stage today because all I have is this, and all this is yours. Come on. My eyes are yours. My heart is yours. My mind is yours. My mouth is yours. My legs are you. Everything I have belongs to you." Somebody ought to give God praise today. And you do the best you can with what you've got, and God will take what you're missing, and you'll make a big difference in it. So again, thank you. I love you too. The heart is what really matters. And again, God loves a cheerful giver. That's what the Bible said. So if it feels like worship, it really matters. Next point. When God has your heart, your generosity shows up. Luke 12, verse 33, last verse. "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, so you will have treasures in heaven that will never fail." I like the Message Bible. I read this. Check this out. It's really cool. It says, "Be generous, give to the poor, get yourself a bank that can't go bankrupt." Don't you like that? "A bank in heaven, far from robbers, safe from embezzlers, a bank you can bank on." It's obvious, isn't it? I love that Message Bible version of it. What you can bank on is God. What you can bank on is him taking care of you. What you can bank on is him loving you. And what you can really bank on is saying, "What can I do that I can take to heaven. We've all heard that statement that you've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul hooked to it. Out of all the funerals I've done, I've never had a guy in the funeral, there in the casket, look up at me and go, "Hey, where's my Rolex? Where's my ring?" No. Because this stuff here only lasts here. But what we do here, building churches, changing lives, feeding the poor, helping and clothing and giving presents to little kids that their family is incarcerated, all this stuff Jesus really loves. And you love Jesus, that's why you're here today. But I'm saying, can we say, wait a minute, let's trust God. 2 Corinthians 9 says he supplies seed for the sower and bread for the eating. So sometimes when you get fearful and go, I wonder if I'll have enough. That's what I loved about my dad. Was he said, how can I use my physical house as collateral to build God a house? And then he modeled that out before me. And then I went on to continue to do that same agenda, that same goal, to use our life to change a life. And I'm not asking you not to sell all your possessions. I'm not doing that. I don't want to sell all my possessions. But I am saying, if God has our heart, he has our wallet. If he has our heart, he has our time. And you and I are going to go through difficult times. It's just a fact. You're going to be surprised. You're like, oh, man, I didn't know that was going to hit me. Or that was going to happen. And you got little kids, you got problems. And then they get to be teenagers. Vote with me on this. You got bigger problems. And the problem is, even when they get adults, it's even bigger problems. And then their kids have problems. You're going to have problems your whole life. I wanted to encourage you with that today. But we can face these problems with the wisdom of God and the discretion of the Holy Spirit. And then when we have a local church that we can count on and go in and say, God, here, I helped build this church. When my dad went to heaven up at St. Anthony's Hospital just a few miles away, I was right there with him by his bedside a lot. And one of the last things he said to me was, let them pull it out of your cold, dead hands. Because he knew there was going to be a fight. And boy, was there. And my dad had a nice little church of 180 people that subsequently we fought for, we fought cities for, we fought bureaucracy for, we fought deacon boards. And we fought. And at the end of the day, here we are in 2025, getting ready to go into 2026. And my dad never dreamed that 14,266 people would get saved in 1 year. And I prophesy this next year, we're going for 15,000. Who's going with me on that? Reaching people far from God, letting them know that Jesus loves them. Somebody ought to shout amen to this. Get a hold of this. Use your life to change a life. If you got a tattoo, get that one. Use your life to change a life. I want to say this too. Sometimes people come up to me and go, Pastor David, I've been here for a while now. Got a lot of notes. Kind of know what you're going to say. Kind of feel like I need to go to another church. And that's okay. Sometimes people go to another church. Not saying that's a bad thing. But I want to ask people oftentimes, hey, how about we set down the notebook? You got a lot of notes? So do I. I could pull up on my iPad 17,000 sermons to pick from that I wrote, preaching some 6 and 8 times a week. You tend to know some stuff about some stuff, and you tend to come up with some sermons. But at the end of the day, when you get to heaven, God's not going to look at you and go, let me see how many notes you took at church. He's going to look at you and say, hopefully, well done, thy good and faithful servants, because you use the information that you got, come on somebody, to go out to the highways and byways and compel people to come in. Then you started serving at church, because if you're not serving, you're swerving. And so you just come to church and say, bless me, help me, feed me. But as you grow in grace, get rid of the notebooks and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work in the nursery. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give somebody a cold drink of water. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be in the parking lot. I'm going to be an usher. I'm going to be a greeter. I am going to enter into 2026 and give God not just money. I'm going to give him my time, my talent, and my treasure. Who's going with me on this right now? That's what we got to do. And then if you really want to be happy, they always say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I got a saying in my life. If mommy ain't happy, hopefully she'll get happy, but I'm going to be happy. And she's got a saying, if daddy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. No, if daddy ain't happy, I'm going to be happy. Because if you allow your happiness to be in the care, in the hands of someone else, you'll feel sad when they're sad. You'll feel glad when they're glad. But when you're rooted and grounded in the Word and you use your life on purpose to change people's life, I'm really happy. I'm getting ready to leave here. I'm 9 seconds till close. I'm 8 seconds to close. There's a clock. I'm 6 seconds to close, supposedly. I'm going to take back those 5 or 6 seconds. But I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to Earth City and preach. Then I'm going to come back here and I'm going to preach. Then I'm going to go there and I'm going to preach. And at the end of the day today, I'm going to be happy. And I'm not going to do it all right, but I'm going to do whatever I can to convince you that the devil is a liar, that Jesus is still on the throne, that God has a purpose for your life. And if you'll, come on somebody, if you'll use your life to change the life, you will be happy. You'll be saying, I'm so happy. Now, if you don't have one of these books and you haven't been here in a couple weeks or you got one and you misplaced it, if you don't have one of these vision books of what we did this last year when I did Vision Sunday, I want you to raise your hand today at all of our campuses high because our ushers are going to come through and give you those if you want and or this Grace Multiply. What this is saying over the next year, hey, Pastor David, I'm going to make a vow over the next year of what I'm going to give in this capital campaign. And again, there's no pressure to do this whatsoever. At all the campuses, just raise your hand if you want one of these. But a lot of people have prayerfully thought about it, or today they say, I'm purposing in my heart, I'm going to give X amount of dollars over the next year. And again, it's not the amount. You know, every year a friend of mine owns, he did all the online car warranties that you get online and a lot of financing. So he's very wealthy. And every year he takes me and Nicole, in fact, Tuesday we go and Wednesday and we'll go have Emerald, like Emerald's Kitchen, like Emerald will cook for us, and he cooks for us in this room, and it's very expensive. We don't pay anything, but my friend's very wealthy, and every year, he's done that for us, for years. There's a couple cool things that he does over 2 days. We just eat our brains out. I wear my maternity pants, right? But you know, that's not the coolest meal I've ever had. The coolest meal that I really have, and this is talking about the difference, but it's not the size, it's the experience. In Mexico, there was a person who there was dirt on the outside and dirt in their floor on the inside, the thatched roof. And this person, though, the inside of their floor looked different because it was packed really hard and it was swept really clean. And when Nicole and I went down to sit on the floor and eat their food, they had prepared for us a meal that they couldn't afford because they never got to eat meat, but they ate meat. They watched us eat meat. It was the hardest thing in the world to eat it when I understood the person that was with us was explaining through the interpreter how much they appreciated us and how much they loved us. Gosh, that was hard. But that was way cooler than Emerald because of the heart. So God's never looking at the amount. He was looking at the offering. He still does today. He said he looked at this woman and said she gave more than anybody because she gave from her heart. And she, it wasn't how much she gave, it's how much she had left over. And so again, I'm asking you today to look that over and to pray. And in the envelopes in front of you, probably on every seat there, there's a special little envelope. I don't even know if I have. Yeah, I've got one here. And it's once a year they print these and they make it kind of look like it's a wrapping paper. And you're saying today, I'm going to actually make a generous gift to God. I'm saying, Jesus, this is an offering to you. And maybe you never give at church, and that's fine. But you're saying today, for the first time maybe, I'm going to give God a gift because Jesus is the reason for the season. It's not my birthday, but it's his birthday. Does that make sense? I want to pray for you right now. That's all I'll say about it. God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you move in and out every row, up and down every aisle. Today, God, we know that you have given us the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus, and that's why we celebrate. But today, God, we make a vow that we're giving back to you our time, our talent, and our treasure. God, one thing we hold dear to our heart is our money. We work for it. We look at it, and we calculate it, and we worry about it. But God, we are turning that over to you today. In Jesus' name we pray as we give, and everybody said amen and amen. Was that all right for today? Come on, give it up for Jesus. Jesus.